Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 5. And we'll continue looking at verse 21 today. I don't think we'll get into verse 22, but verse 21 is all-inclusive of what he begins to deal with in verse 22 and on through the end of the chapter, and in fact into the sixth chapter of this book of Ephesians. Verse 21, we read, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As we said last week, this is a continuation of the previous verses. Children of God being followers of God. Children of God loving as did the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us an offering, a sacrifice for sin. Children of God, being of sound mind, sober mind, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We'll give thanks always, for all things, that's the bad, as well as the good, for all things unto God and the Father, and we'll do it in the name of Jesus Christ. If you ever wondered why we close our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, there's why, because our prayers are to be to the Father, but they're to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting. What does it mean to submit? Well, last week we said it means to be subordinate. It means to arrange yourself under. It is a term literally in the Greek that comes from a military term, meaning that you arrange yourselves under the command of another, under the command of sergeant, captain, lieutenant, colonel, and I don't know if I put them in order of their rank. Not that familiar with the armed services, having never served in it. But in a non-military fashion, because we're not the military, and we don't have sergeants in the Lord's house, or captains, or lieutenants, or colonels, any of that sort, or generals. But in a non-military sense, it means to be in a attitude of voluntarily placing yourself under another.
It means cooperating, assuming in assuming responsibility. It means to carrying a burden. It means to put your, subdue your desires, your passions, your goals, your accomplishments, and to allow someone else's desires, passions, goals, accomplishments to be yours, and you aid that individual and see into it that they accomplish that. So, we said that as members of the Ephesian Church, as members of the Grace Baptist Church, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to be filled with the Holy Spirit in an extent that a brother or sister, welfare, is preferred over our own. In other words, that's all we care about is our brother or sister's welfare, our brother or sister's benefit. Helping them accomplish what they ought to be, for the Lord. It goes to the previous chapter, goes to edifying, it goes to building up, that the body of Christ might be walk together in unity and oneness. And he said in the fourth chapter in verse 2, in lowliness of mind, that is in humility. Humility, we must be humble. We must be in humility. Pride. No place for pride. No place for pride in the Lord's church. Pride exalts oneself. Pride doesn't lift up another. Pride is only concerned with lifting myself up. You see, so we must be of a humble mind. We must walk in lowliness and humility. And when we're walking in humbleness and humility, and we're submitting one to another, we'll not lie to one another. We'll not be angry with one another. And those that are in need, we will cheerfully give to their aid, to their benefit, in helping them. We'll not speak degrading, in a degrading manner to them. We will not tear down, but we'll use speech that builds up. Speech that edifies, and that is not to build them up in pride, but to build them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We'll be kind. We'll have a kind heart. We'll have a meek heart, chapter 4, verse 2. Talk about in meekness. Another thing that we touched on last week is that submitting one to another, walking in humility. When we're walking in humility and we're submitting to one another, we'll be able to share with one another our failures, our shortcomings, our sins that we struggle with and labor and seek the Lord to give us the victory over. We'll confess our faults one to another. And we can do it. We can do that, and we can do it without fear of them spreading it all around. We can do it knowing and being assured that they're going to pray for us? Because I'm submitting to them, and they're submitting to me. They're concerned about my welfare. I'm concerned about their welfare. I would do the same for them. And they do the same for me. And so, we'll be subject to each other. We noted last week that this is a command. And each one of these is a command. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is a command. And as a command, there is no room for failure. There is no room for disobedience. Especially you and I, as members of one of the Lord's churches, of the Grace Baptist Church of Melbourne, Florida, we each are commanded to be submitting to one another. We looked at a verse last week in closing, the book of Micah. The book of Micah in chapter 6 and verse 8, we'll go there and read that again today. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? What has he commanded us? But to do justly, and to love mercy. You see, when we're submitting one to another, we'll each to one another be merciful. We'll be compassionate. We'll be kind. All the things that we've mentioned. And to walk humbly with thy God. There's the crutch of it. Submit to God. Walk humbly with the Lord thy God. When we walk humbly with the Lord, we do his will, and his will is that we obey his commandments. His will is today, the message, verse 21, that we submit one to another. Paul told the Philippians in the book of Philippians, in chapter 2 and verse 5, he told the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? Well, the mind of Christ was one of submission to his Father. He said, I must do the works of him that sent me. He said in John chapter 4 and verse 34, he said, my necessary food is to finish the work of him that sent me. That was his mind. His mind was one of submission to the Father. His mind was one of submitting to his people, to those that the Father gave him. Now, that sounds like kind of strange, but think about it for a minute. He laid aside himself. He laid aside his glory. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, and verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father on high. So we're to have in us the mind of Christ. Continuing on today, he said in our verse, he said, in the fear of God. In the fear of God, or in the fear of Christ, we are to have a reverential fear of displeasing Him. If we have that reverential fear of displeasing Him and wanting to satisfy Him, and we know that His Word has commanded us to walk humbly with the Lord our God, to submit one to another, because we fear the Lord, because we fear Jesus Christ of being displeasing to Him, we will willfully, cheerfully submit one to another. Look with me at the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 13. Look with me here at verse 4. Instructions given by Moses from God. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice. And ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. You see what this verse is telling us here? It's telling us that if we fear Him, if we're walking after Him and we fear Him, the fear of Him, because we fear Him, we will keep His commandments. We'll obey His word. We'll serve Him, and we'll cleave unto Him. Problem that Israel had. They didn't walk after Him. They didn't fear Him as they should have. If they had feared Him as they should have, they would have been obedient to His word, to His commandments. They would have served Him. They would have cleaved unto Him. But did they cleave unto Him? No. They went whoring after other gods. They did not cleave unto Him. So, proper fear of the Lord our God will cause us to walk in obedience to Him, which obedience to Him, as it pertains to our verse, is submitting one to another. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 3. And look with me here at verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Why? What's wrong with me being wise in mine own eyes? Well, right away when you see in your own eyes, that speaks of pride. That speaks of arrogancy. You see, the humbler, I don't know if that's a word or not, but the more humble I become, the less wise in mine own eyes that I am. And I have to say, I don't know anything. And that which I do know, which the Lord has been pleased to teach me and to instruct me, I don't know it yet as I ought to know it. I don't know it yet as I will know it one day. You see. So be not wise in thine own eyes, because that's pride. Fear the Lord. If I fear the Lord, if you fear the Lord, what's that do to pride? Well, pride wants to have its own way. Pride, what's wrong with my way? My way is just as good as your way. I can do my thing. Well, the fear of the Lord displaces that attitude, displaces that pride. Because we see the Lord as almighty. We see the Lord as omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. We see the Lord as sovereign, working as He pleases in our lives and in the lives of men of this world. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord will cause us to depart from evil. You say, well, if I don't submit to you, if I don't submit to Harold, what is evil about that? If you don't submit, then you're walking in pride. If you're walking in humility, you'll submit. Because your desires, your goals, your accomplishments, your plans are unimportant. What's important? That of your brother and sister sitting beside you, that of your brother and sister that you're walking with, that you're fellowshipping with, that you're coming in contact with. You see, the fear of the Lord causes us to depart from evil. Every disobedience against God is evil. It is wicked. And we're to depart from it. Listen. We do this because He loved us so much. He loved us how much? So much that He sent His Son. And His Son died according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures for me, for you, for His people, for all that would believe. Now, that love being manifested, that love being declared unto me, what's that produce in me? If we really get a hold of that love that he bestowed upon us, and He manifested it to us, He declared it unto us, what does that do to us? It creates in us a burning desire and love to please Him. To please Him in all that I do. Do I do it? No. And it should grieve me when I don't. I still have within me that desire that wants to please Him, because He did so much for me. You see? And as it pertains to our verse, that translates to me in submitting to you. And it should translate to you in your submission to me. It should translate into our submitting one to another. Look with me back here in the book of Job. The book of Job in chapter 28. And look at something that we're told here. And unto man, Job 28:28, and unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. You want to be wise? You want to have true wisdom? Well, it comes in fearing the Lord. And to depart from evil is understanding. You see, we have the fear of the Lord, which is wisdom, is true wisdom. And with that wisdom, we get understanding. And that understanding causes us to depart from evil. That is, I see from God's word, that's wisdom. I perceive from God's word, that's wisdom. I perceive the path in which he would have me to walk. That is wisdom, and that is understanding gotten by the wisdom of God's word. And when I see that and understand that, I depart from evil. I depart from walking in pride. Because pride is an abomination unto God. Turn with me back to the book of Proverbs. These verses just come to mind. And in chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Notice these things as they're listed here. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So these seven things are an abomination. He hates them. A proud look. Ah. Right off the bat, he's talking about pride. He's talking about the individual that walks in pride. And every one of these things are a result of our walking in pride. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandments. Get rid of pride. Humble yourself. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Turn with me now to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms in chapter 111. And look with me here at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's just the beginning. The fear of the Lord. You know, that's the starting point. We must fear the Lord. And that fear of the Lord comes through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. We're concerned about praising him, aren't we? If we're concerned about praising him, then we want to do that which is pleasing, that which is acceptable in his sight. We want to be obedient to his commandments. And for us to be obedient to his commandments, I must be in the word of God so I might see what his commandments are, so that I might see the path in which he wants me to walk. And seeing that path, I can depart from evil. And as it pertains to our verse today, we're seeing that he wants us to submit one to another. Proverbs chapter 8. The book of Proverbs in chapter 8. In verse 13 he says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, myself included, but I have worked with people, I have associated, I've talked to people that, oh, they love Jesus, they fear God, they fear the Lord, but they don't hate evil. They don't do His commandments. Because they don't do His commandments, they're a lawbreaker. That's evil. That's wickedness. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance. You see those seven things that we talked about back there in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 18? And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. One walking in pride and arrogance will not submit to one another. They won't submit to anyone. What's that say about our world today? What does that say about our churches today? You know, we say that no one wants to submit to anyone today. Well, that's even in our churches. Our pews are full of people. They don't want to submit. They don't talk to them about submission. And I know the next couple weeks, women and men, women are only going to be first because they're listed first in our passage of Scripture, but the men are going to get it too. Women and men, it's going to be hard stuff. And if you don't have the stomach for it, if you're walking in pride, then you might not want to be here the next few weeks as we look at these things. But I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. And it applies just as much to me as it does anyone else. You see. And as I look at the Word of God, I see my own failures and shortcomings. And I have walked in pride. And still, at times, I walk in pride because I want my way sometimes. Well, most of the time, I want my way. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Look at what Nehemiah said here. And this is a real blessing. Read it just a couple days ago, but have it here in our verses to look at today. Nehemiah chapter 5. And look what he says here in verse 15. Nehemiah speaking. He says, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. What is he saying? He's saying those governors, those ones that were before me, they pilfered the people. They lived off the people. They used the people to their advantage. Actually, they were in debt to them, he says. But notice what he says now. But so did not I. Notice this. Because of the fear of God. Nehemiah says, because of the fear of God that was in my heart and that was ruling in my heart and was prevailing in my heart, I did not do as they did. Probably one of the hardest things for pastors to not do. And I've seen pastors that I thought, well, they're lording it over their congregation. But that is probably one of the hardest things for pastors not to do, is to lord it over the congregation. Listen, and I've tried to keep my mind in humility. I've tried not to be lifted up when people comment and say, they enjoyed the messages and what have you. I try not to be lifted up in pride. I try to respond, well, praise the Lord. If I was able to speak anything that you rejoiced in, that caused you to rejoice, caused you to be encouraged, caused you to be edified in order to praise the Lord, because it was the Lord that did it, and not I. And Nehemiah says he wasn't lifted up with pride because of his position. Why? Because of the fear of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And this is what we all need to remember here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and looking with me at verse 9. He said, verse 8, he said, we're confident. Verse 7, he said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're walking by sight. Sight causes us to be lifted up with pride. But he said, we're walking by faith. He said, verse 8, he said, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And with that thought in mind, being present with the Lord, one day we are going to be absent from this body, and one day we are going to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That word accepted of Him means well-pleasing to Him. So what is he saying to us here? He's saying that our labor, our work here on earth, in the body, realizing that one day we are going to stand before the Lord, absent from the body, we labor to be well-pleasing to the Lord. That's probably been the theme of the message this afternoon. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're talking to church members here. We're talking to saved people here. Yes, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so, realizing that, we walk in fear of the Lord, and we're walking to be well-pleasing to Him, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, actually fear, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. That word persuade means to go, we proclaim, we declare unto men. We declare unto men the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the need to repent of their sins and trust in Him. Why? Because we know the terror of the Lord. We fear the Lord, and we know that His terror is not going to be pleasant upon those who reject Him, those who refuse Him. Turn with me back to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 19. And we'll close with this verse, unless the Lord brings another one to my mind. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. In other words, he has a conscience, he has a mind that is conscious of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a mind that is conscious of God. And in everything that he does, he's conscious of God. And so, because he's conscious of God, he walks humbly. And walking humbly, it allows him to suffer persecution. It allows him to be defamed. It allows him to be mocked. It allows him to be ridiculed.
Why?
For the cause of Christ. For the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has a conscience that is toward God, he's willing to suffer wrongfully. Not justly, but wrongfully. At the hands of wicked men. Yes? Wicked men will abuse us. Wicked men will ridicule, will mock, will persecute. And we'll have to suffer that wrongfully because of, we have a conscience that is toward God, and we're walking in humility with our God, knowing that they can kill the body, but they have no power over the soul and spirit of man. To kill the body is to be absent from the body. But what did he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Present with the Lord. Well, any way you figure it, we win. We win. That will be glorious for us. That will be good for us. Shall we?